Here.
Carter.
Here.
Baba.
Here.
Hugh.
Here, present.
Sexton.
Here.
Coer.
We need approval of agenda.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Sexton.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, October the 10th, 2025.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Pugh.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next thing is public input. Don't see any public.
Nope.
No presentation from outside entity.
Nope.
Communication from the board. Seeing none, we're going to new business.
All right, so since this meeting is pretty much solely dedicated to appropriating motor fuel tax funds, and I know a number of you probably haven't gone through this before. I know we've talked about the budget before, but you really haven't gone through the fund source and distribution of the motor fuel tax for the state of Illinois. So I thought we'd run through that quickly before we move on to the resolution. So I printed out the book. It says 2020, but it's the latest version because nothing has really changed as far as the source distribution uses since then. But this kind of goes through in detail what the sources of the motor fuel tax fund, and there's also a TRF fund, a transportation renewal fund as well. We can kind of skip the first pages and you go to page 7. You see the source of the motor fuel tax fund is derived from a tax on the privilege of operating motor fuel tax, which is basically when you go to the pump and buy gas for your vehicle, 19 cents per gallon is the motor fuel tax fund. So they're taking that 19 cents and depositing it in the motor fuel tax fund for the state. And the distribution of the motor fuel tax fund is the next page, and it kind of goes through. There's a lot of kind of bleed offs at the top. It goes to the boating account, and grade crossing protection fund, and rail and highway grade separation structures, and all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of stuff that does come off of the top, vehicle inspection fund, all those kind of things. But when it boils down and all that stuff comes off the top, then you'll see that on page 9, 45.6% is deposited basically to the state. The state gets that money for their road construction. And then 54.4% of the motor fuel tax fund is distributed to the locals for our use. And you'll see under B3 that the counties receive 18.27% is a portion to the counties with a population of less than a million. And it's basically a portion based on the population. It's actually based on how many motor vehicles are registered within your county, but basically that's a population type distribution.
If I mean, that's what, 7% of the whole?
What's that?
We got all the things that get taken off.
Yeah.
Then what's left over gets split, and then gets split again.
Right.
That's what, about 7% maybe? It's not a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's maybe 9% or something, 9 or
like
10%,
that, yeah.
Something like that, goes to the counties. And then 15.89% goes to the road districts, and that's a portion based on the total miles of township roads in the state of Illinois versus how many miles you have in your township. We're a big county. We got 28 townships. We got 1,560 miles or something like that in our townships. So our townships do get, you know, a decent proportion of that 15.89%. And then in 2019, they started what they call the Transportation Renewal Fund, where it was another 19 cents on the motor fuel tax that is distributed in a different formula. But that 19 cents is also tied to the CPI. So that one is adjusted for inflation, whereas the original 19 cents was 19 cents since I think 1991 or something like that was the last time that was adjusted. So they put in this transportation renewal fund. And they have a similar formula that they distributed. I mean, it's based on the same criteria. But if you look at page 10, you'll see that the state construction fund gets 48%, and then they gave some to high-speed rail, buses, and rapid transit. They get 20%, so that leaves 32% to be distributed to the local counties, townships, municipalities. So the overall percentage of that money that we get is less than what we get from motor fuel tax funds, for sure, because you're getting 18% of 32%. So we're definitely not even in the realm of 8 or 9% on that one. And then the townships get 15.89% of that 32%. So that's how the monies get to the county. So some of the bigger counties in the collars of Chicago have their own county MFT fund. The cities, Champaign, Urbana, I believe, Danville, maybe even Rantoul, have their own local,
I believe they do,
motor fuel tax fund. We as a county don't have the statutory authority to impose any kind of motor fuel tax on the motor fuel tax besides what we get from the state in the in Champaign County. So
yeah, that's what Michelle was trying to argue about, because the county tax is separate from the city tax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the city, she's supposed to be the administrator, and she's gonna say no, it wasn't. But I know that the city of Champaign gas tax is different. It doesn't, the pots don't cross.
No, they get, so when they collect their money, no matter what city you're in, it actually does go to the state.
Okay.
And then the state gets 10% to handle it for them, and then they send it back to them.
Oh yeah.
So the state gets their cut of it. We don't get any of it.
Right.
The cities get it all back in their coffers, basically. Okay. Whatever comes back, they get. And I don't remember, I think they started at like 4%, and there's a attached to the CPI as well, so maybe it's 4 cents, maybe it's 6 cents now, or something of that nature. But we don't have the statutory authority to do that in Champaign County. So page 12 is basically a flow chart of what we just talked about with the motor fuel tax fund, how it's apportioned. And you can see all those things that come off the top before it even gets to the motor fuel tax fund balance, and then it's, you know, it's broken off. And everybody's been talking about this money that they passed in the legislature to give to this, the Chicago Transit Authority, and that money comes from the state portion, not from our portion. So there's no monies that are coming from the local portion to pay for that transit. And it's not even the motor fuel tax fund. So on top of this, the state also charges state sales tax on motor fuel tax. So we don't get any of that. The state gets all of that, and they're using that money in order to pay for the transit stuff that they're paying for. So it's kind of a different pot of money, but IDOT was getting it in their road fund. Now they are not, and it's going to the transit.
So we're still paying for it.
We're still paying for it, but it's not money. We're still going to get the same amount this year relatively to what we got last year. I mean, obviously there's electric vehicles that are coming online. They don't pay any motor fuel tax funds. When you register your vehicle, whatever that costs you, we don't get any of that. The state gets all of that. So if they raise the registration cost on an electric vehicle because they're not using motor fuel tax, that money's not going to see its way to the county.
Oh,
or the
township. I didn't know it.
No. Well, it's all going to go to the state.
I don't know what they raised it to, but when I left the DMV, you could register an electric vehicle for like $50 for 2 years.
Yeah. It's like $300 now.
And I think they raised it up to where you're still paying the same as a regular license now, which we thought they should have been anyway, because they're
a little
still
higher.
Using it.
Yeah, it's higher. It's higher than what normal one is now. And the way that I understood it was that it was because the math works out that it's pretty close to what you would kind of estimate pay.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I knew they raised it up quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it was $300.
I wouldn't know. I buy old beaters and I paid a minimum per task.
So, but none of that comes to us. It all goes through the state for their, whatever they use it for. Not really sure. So.
Either of those.
So, as you know, whenever we use motor fuel tax funds at the county or even at the township level, there's a resolution that we have to pass appropriating the motor fuel tax funds and state how the motor fuel tax funds are going to be used. And on page 14 is kind of a laundry list there of the things that we can use motor fuel tax funds for. The biggest one is obviously construction and maintenance of the county highways. And same with the townships. Now, we do use some of it for other things. We pay my salary with it, and there's some other things, but the, you know, lion's share, 90-plus percent of it goes to construction and maintenance of... Now, we did use some of it when we built this building, because that's an allowable use. But when we built it, we had to, like, apportion how much we were going to use motor fuel tax money for, because it says that you can use it to pay for garages. So the big space in the back, which is our garage that we use to maintain our vehicles and store our vehicles, that piece was paid for by motor fuel tax fund, but the, like, the administrative side of the building, we actually did a bond and paid for this side of the building with that bond, and that bond was paid off, you know, some 8-9 years ago. So
would that also would be able to cover the, because I know we talked a little bit before about at the nursing home property, mm-hmm. if that gets apportioned to then be used for garage storage, would that be?
We could.
So then that could?
We could. I've been trying to save money in the highway fund. I don't think we could use it for demolition.
Right.
But maybe rebuilding it, maybe we could. It's a lot easier to use our money than it is to use motor fuel tax money. Mm-hmm. And so if we use motor fuel tax money for that, then we're going to use highway fund to do stuff that motor fuel tax would have done. So the county engineer before me, Denny Enziker, we took over a roadway. It's the 5-mile stretch from Tolono to Philo and then from Sydney over to Homer. That got jurisdictionally transferred to the county back in, I'm going to say it was 2000, somewhere in that era. We had a whole bunch of money. And instead of using all that money to rebuild the road, which they did rebuild the road, but they just did an overlay on it and called it a rebuild, there was a whole bunch of money left in the coffers for that, and they set that aside.
Okay.
And said, we're going to use that for the building.
Sure.
If a building ever gets built. And he retired, I came in, and then we ended up building the building. So we did have some monies that were kind of unusual monies.
Sure.
That the county got in our motor fuel tax fund that we were able to set aside and build the building with. And we were in dire need, as you recall. She was here, nobody else was. We were in that space above the gymnasium in Brookings. And then we had the old metal buildings over here, and we had to move 5 vehicles to get one out. And we didn't even have a wash bay. So all the salt and stuff that was collecting on the vehicles, they would wash the trucks out in the parking lot in the middle of the winter. And it was a bad situation. So we were in dire need of a building.
You can make your parking lot a little slick.
Yeah, exactly. There's a workman's comp claim just waiting to happen, right?
Yeah.
So in the last page is just a map of the different IDOT regions and districts. We're in District 5 there, Champaign County. So there's, you know, DeWitt and Piatt, Douglas, Vermilion, us, and Edgar is our district. And then we're Region 3. So they redid all the regions and districts, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. Our district used to be larger, but they kind of pared it down. And our office that we generally work with people is down in Paris, Illinois, in Edgar County. So that's kind of the shtick on how we get the motor fuel tax funds, where it comes from, and what we can use it for. So the next thing, if anybody has any questions on that, we can answer them. If not, we'll move on to what we can spend the money on, the county motor fuel tax claims for October. So I need approval of those. And the township, I guess. Oh, there isn't any township. We're not doing any township work this time here. So it'd just be the county motor fuel tax.
will include county motor fuel tax, right?
I move to approve that.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And then the next item is the estimate of maintenance costs. So we do this every year, this time of year. We need to have it in by the first of the year so we can start spending our motor fuel tax funds on the things that we do to maintain our roads. See, there's a number of items there, from rock to millings. We buy our salt through this, which we have a contract with Compass Materials through the state bid, is where we get our salt from. There's culverts, asphalt, signs, striping, which we use a contract on that. It's typically Varsity Striping does that work for us. But you total all that up, and it's a little over $1 million just for doing the maintenance operations. And then the local public agency equipment, we are allowed to rent our equipment to the Motor Fuel Tax Fund. So what we can do there is we keep track through a GPS monitoring system how many hours our vehicles run when we're maintaining our roads each year. And we can charge that to the Motor Fuel Tax Fund, and that money can come back to the highway funds where we have more flexibility to be able to use it. So we generally do about $225,000 there as well. So add those two numbers together and you get your $1,277,000 is our estimated cost to maintain the roads for the year 2026. And then there's a resolution that has to be passed in order to appropriate those funds that we send down to the state. And we need approval of that resolution to be sent down to the state. I can answer any questions about the estimate of maintenance costs if you have any.
Salt is the biggest single line item here.
Yeah, it is. You're right. And, you know, they made the decision before I was here, and we continue to run with it, is that, you know, we're going to keep our roads open 24/7. We're going to run 24/7, and we're going to try to get them to bare pavement before we're done taking care of them. And that's what the public has come to expect, and that's what we try to do when we have a snowstorm. We haven't gotten as many snowstorms in the last few years, but it's the ice that really kills us on the salt. When you get an ice storm, trying to get rid of that, because you can plow the snow off and then there's a little residual underneath. You throw some salt on it, it goes away. But ice, you can't really plow, so you're just trying to cut it with either calcium chloride or sodium chloride in order to get rid of it and get it off the roads, because it's, as you know, a very dangerous situation when the roads are icy. So we got 3,000 tons this year. You know, we got the dome back there that we store it in. We just ordered our first 1,000 tons to be put in there. Should be coming in the next week or so. We'll put that in there. We share that salt dome with the city of Urbana and with Urbana Township, although they have very minimal use of the salt dome because they don't do a lot of salting of the roadways, but we share it with the city of Urbana. It was built in 94. We've had an agreement with them. It actually expired, and we're working on trying to re-up that agreement with the city of Urbana for the shared cost of the salt dome.
How much is salt costing per pound these days?
Well, it's $100 a ton.
Ooh.
So, okay. And it's been that way for quite a long time. There was a shortage when that Mississippi salt mine collapsed a few years back, and we started having to get salt like railed in from Canada, and the price went up substantially. As a matter of fact, there was a year where the state put out their salt contract and nobody bid on it.
Yeah, nobody bid.
So then we're scrambling trying to get our own salt contracts. Well, anytime you do something like that where you're not buying hundreds of thousands of tons, you're just buying 2,000 or 3,000, our costs went up. It was maybe $160 a ton that year. But then once they got that figured out, it came back down, and it's been around 100. I think this year maybe it was it was right around 100. I don't remember the exact number of the bid we get, but we tell them in April how much salt we need for next year, which is always kind of a, you know, you look at the salt dome, you know, how many tons do we have left? And then we send our requisition into the state of Illinois, and then in about September, they bid it on behalf of all the counties, townships, and municipalities in the entire state. And then we get something from them generally in October that says, this is how much salt is going to be for you at your location. And it varies from location. It just depends. A lot of ours either comes from Chicago or Peoria, so it's a lot of trucking costs to get it here. If you have a county that's fortunate enough to be near a salt distribution center, your prices are going to be a lot lower because they don't have much trucking cost in it. But ours has been around 100 for, you know, the last years I can recall.
Okay, we need a motion.
So moved. Carter.
Second. Sexton.
Open for more discussion. Seeing that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And one of the other items we can use motor fuel tax funds for is the salary of the county engineer. And for whatever reason, before I got here, so you have to have an agreement with the state of Illinois to be able to use your federal funds to offset your motor fuel tax funds in order to pay the salary of the county engineer. And it used to be that that agreement was a six-year agreement, which was supposed to run with the tenure of the county engineer, because county engineers have six-year contracts whenever they get appointed by the county. And ours got offset for some reason. I don't know why, but so it wasn't running in sequence with when my contracts were up. And so this year, actually in 2026, our six-year agreement with the state to transfer federal funds to our motor fuel tax funds to pay the county engineer's salary comes up. But the good news is the new form that they have, because I called over to Springfield and asked them, I said, so we're going to run out in August of 2026. Do I need to do this now in order to, so that it doesn't run out midway through the year? And the new form doesn't have any time frame on it at all. It's just in perpetuity. So we do this, and as long as I'm county engineer, the agreement for county engineer salary program it doesn't have any kind of end date to it. So we don't have to re-up it every 6 years. But in order to do that, we have to pass this agreement for county engineer salary. I've modified it a little bit and got Steve's signature in there where I could. So we need to pass that agreement for county engineer salary so that we can get that transfer of federal funds.
So moved. Carter.
Second. Question.
Which one are we paying you? $184,000?
Yes. That's the next one. This is the agreement so that we can use. So I don't know how they did this, but way back when, I'm going to say in the 80s or 90s, the state had a deal with the feds and said, okay, each county gets a certain amount of federal dollars to use on their roads every year. And they said that they would be able to transfer 50% of the federal dollars from the state level to the county's motor fuel tax fund to offset the cost in the motor fuel tax fund for the county engineer's salary. So this agreement says that we're allowed to do that, and that just happens automatically at the state level, and the money comes to our motor fuel tax fund once this is signed.
So moved. Carter.
Didn't we already vote on this?
What's that?
We just voted on this.
Oh, that's right.
For discussion.
We're voting on it. No.
I thought we were on the F.
Okay.
Right.
We are. Yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned F, and then we went kind of backwards. So.
So are we on? Did we pass E?
We passed E.
Okay.
Right.
We passed F. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. We're now we're on discussion.
There. Okay.
So then every year I have a, like I said, six-year contract. Started in 22, so it goes through 28. That basically sets forth that I'll get a 3% raise every year until this contract is up. And with that 3% raise this year, the salary is $184,891, and this appropriates the motor fuel tax funds in order to be able to pay that salary out of the motor fuel tax funds. And then there's also, since this is a weird form and IDOT won't let me change it, it isn't signed at all by the chair of the board or the county executive. It's only signed by the clerk. So therefore, we have to pass a resolution which says that the county is granting the authority for the county clerk to certify and submit the resolution. And then that is signed by the chair and the county executive. So those two things kind of go hand in hand with one another.
So moved. Pardon.
Oh, we already made a motion, didn't we, for this one?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the last? Okay.
Yeah. We're still in discussion.
Hey, second then.
Sorry.
Sure, I'll second. No. I thought we just talked about
resolutions. All in one motion. Should be.
Yeah. We could. Let's omnibus it.
That first one's always, I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. We get the authority to transfer the money.
Okay, is there any other discussion?
Who was the second on that?
Brett.
Thank you.
Sure. We're volunteering you.
Yeah.
Is there any other discussion?
I have not.
Seeing none, all in favor say
aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And then the last one is kind of motor fuel tax related as well. We typically have a rock letting for the townships so that they can get their rock hauled in over the winter months for their seal coat programs. This is monies that we use out of the motor fuel tax fund from the township side in order to pay for those aggregates that they get. We do the bid on their behalf. And the county is the awarding authority, even though it's township rock, which is kind of strange. But this just gives me the authority to award those aggregate contracts to the low bidders on behalf of the townships once we do the bid. And we typically do this in like December. We don't have a meeting in December. We don't want to wait until the county board meeting in January because they like to start hauling these aggregates early so they can get them to their sheds during the winter months when the truckers really don't have a lot of
They don't have all that construction and the road stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so this just gives me the authority to award those on behalf of the townships and the county.
So moved. Sexton.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
That's all the business I have.
Okay, we're going to other business. No other business, no report from the chair. Designated items be placed on the consent agenda. With the G.
C is just placed on file. Do we generally put that on the consent agenda? I think you guys just approve them and place them on file.
Okay.
So D on down.
Okay. Everything go on the consent agenda.
Yep.
Okay, is there any other business? Seeing that we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Are we meeting next month?
No, we do not have a December meeting on the schedule.
Just the gala.
I'll be down. Probably won't see y'all until next year.
Still having the end of the year dinner?
December 11th. Haven't seen the formal invitations yet with that township party that they have in Gifford.
Yeah.
It's scheduled for
you should
December 11th.
You haven't been there.
I had a procedure on Wednesday.
The 11th?
And then I have
surgery. It's up in Gifford, bring your family.
December.
How far is that?
Actually, no, just bring your wife.
So I'll 20 down.
Minutes. Or whoever you have, I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Thank you. Bring a plus one.
I should have came today, but I didn't want to miss it because my sleep and my pain feels all over the place.
Up at the German Hall up there.
Today, my first day back.
Pretty good spread, a lot of food, you know. Free drinks, free food.